process of automating our paper survey, going to an online survey. We are required by public health law annually to collect survey data from schools, post-secondary institutions, daycares. We have over 15,000 of those schools. And when we collect the data, we use the vaccination data to assess coverage and monitor compliance with immunization requirements. The goals and objectives of changing over from the paper survey to the online survey is to obviously eliminate paper, to quickly, accurately, and securely collect immunization data, and enhance our capability to monitor compliance with immunization requirements with the schools. Our target population are all of the post-secondary institutions, public schools, private schools, and Head Start nursery schools and daycares. The next couple of slides are just a quick look at the manual paper process that right now we're about a third electronic and the rest is still paper. But to show you how long this process takes. We mail surveys, paper surveys, out to the schools. Once the school gets them and completes them, they mail them back to us. Once we receive those surveys, each survey has to be manually reviewed by someone for computational errors and to make sure that they've completed all the boxes, there are no blanks, and follow up. If we can't correct a computational error, we have to follow up with the schools. And you can see from this picture, this is what it feels like on the due date when all the paper comes into us. Once we've reviewed the surveys, we then have to scan them. And once that data is scanned, we have a programmer who generates two sets of error edits. We have one set, then they have to be corrected. And then another set of error edits are generated before we can come to any kind of clean data. And oftentimes with the paper survey, schools will fill in one particular number, erase it, fill in another number, and then of course the scanner is going to pick that up as two numbers because the erasure mark is not, it's still there a little bit. So this whole process generally takes at least a month for the first batch of surveys that we have in to actually get data reports. In the meantime, schools often contact us wanting confirmation that their survey's been received. And we can't give that to them because we don't have the time or the staff to actually enter a date received when we get those surveys. So until the data has been scanned into the system, we can't tell them whether or not we have their survey. And this is a look at the way that the online survey is set up. And you can see it's much simpler. It's a web interface. We notify the schools via email that the survey is ready to use. Both the schools and DOH can access the survey at the same time. And this comes in handy when schools have an error they can't fix or they have a question that they need. We can go into the survey at the same time that the schools are in there and help them through their error process and correct the data. The methods that we used an existing network called the Health Commerce System. That's an in-house system. We refer to it as the HCS. And in the rest of the presentation, I'll call it HCS so I don't have to say that over and over again. And we also worked with existing software, that framework that was already created and part of the HCS. We expanded the communications directory to include schools, and I'll explain that in just a moment. We also needed to recruit schools for HCS accounts because the HCS is a secure network, and an HCS account is required in order for schools to access that network. As I had mentioned, I need to back up, sorry about that. There we go. It was a mutually beneficial collaboration between the Bureau of HealthCom Network Systems Management and our Bureau, the Bureau of Immunization. The Bureau of HealthCom Systems Network Management obviously provided the secure network and the software framework, and we provided the database of schools and the contact information to expand the communications directory, which was already on the HCS. The communications directory is a database that houses the contact information for all of the organizations affiliated with the HCS, such as local health agencies, hospitals, medical providers, and now schools. And until the OSAS project was started, no schools were officially on the HCS, so their contact information was not listed there and was not able to be utilized. The HCS itself is a secure system that's accessed anywhere where you have a computer with internet access, you can get on the HCS. The HCS has up-to-date information on timely public health issues, and it also provides access to the latest public health alerts. And there's also what's called the Health Alert Network, which is housed on the HCS, where using the communications directory, the contact information, health alerts can be quickly emailed to schools, medical providers, whoever needs to be reached for certain instances. There's no cost for schools to participate on the HCS, and the accounts are password protected. The benefits of OSAS is obviously that it eliminates the most frequent completion errors. We no longer have to review forms. We have error edit checks built into the survey. So if, for instance, a school forgets to subtract out their medical or religious exemptions, they can't submit the data until it is correct and it doesn't display an error. Or if they forget to complete a box, it won't let them go past that screen until they have filled out that information. We now have instant confirmation that the survey data has been received. Schools receive a notice saying your survey data has been submitted, and their data goes into submit status, and they can print a copy off. So they no longer have to worry about whether we have their data. We've also built the instructions for completing the survey into the online tool. Next to each field box is a little help button, and when the schools click on that, a little pop-up box displays and tells them exactly what information we're looking for each antigen, for the medical exemptions, and for completely immunized, etc. We do provide training for the schools via webinar using WebEx software, and the webinars combine a live conference call with a web interface. We do conduct live and recorded webinars. A 1-hour live webinar session can accommodate up to 50 people, and our capability is being expanded to 100 persons. The survey software is demonstrated during the webinar, so in real time we take them through the software. And it also provides an opportunity to interact with schools and for schools to ask any questions. We also provide a quick guide, which is a 2-page step-by-step tool on how to complete the survey. School staff with moderate computer skills can generally just complete the survey using the quick guide, and many of them do. And we also provide a frequently asked questions document that we compiled based on the most frequent questions that schools did have completing the survey. Additional benefits that we are finding from converting to the online survey is more quickly and effectively we can communicate with schools because now we have all their email contact, and instead of having to go through the letter process where you have to write the letter, get it approved, get it mailed out, we can quickly email those contact people who we need to talk to. And not only us, but any program within the New York State Department of Health and local health agencies can utilize that communication directory contact information to also send out emails regarding whatever communication they need to send. We are finding increased interaction with the schools through the webinars, and the phone contact actually assists with our compliance efforts. The schools feel like we have more of a presence with them. Because we are on the webinars with them, we're talking to them on the phone, it feels like we're more looking at them more. The school surveillance application has become a one-stop shop for schools. The framework that the online survey is built into is a overall software, and other agencies can use that software to build surveys so that schools only have to learn one survey tool. And right now we have the Obesity Prevention Program conducts a weight status category survey using the framework that we created. And also, the Bureau of Communicable Disease uses it for the H1N1 school absenteeism and the dismissal surveillance surveys. And we've recently also been contacted by the Division of Family Health regarding using our application to do a survey on anaphylaxis. And that's probably just the beginning, as more agencies that need to interact with schools will probably come on board to use our tool and the communications directory for contacting schools. Also, the New York State Information Immunization System is also located on the HCS, not exactly in the same place, but they can go to the HCS, they can look up records, and then they can use the survey tool. Our progress. We initially began converting to the online survey in 2006 with a volunteer 126 schools to do the pilot project. In 2007, we had 953 schools on, and it was still voluntary at that time. And in 2008, 2,840 schools. In 2009, we did make it mandatory that all public schools in New York State, excluding New York City. The reason that we excluded New York City is because the New York City public schools already report their data electronically to what's called the ATS system, to the Bureau of Education in the city, and the Bureau of Immunization and Mental Health in the city, they pass that data on to us for the public schools. And also the 280 post-secondary schools that we have in New York State, they were required to report online this past fall as well. In 2010, this fall, we anticipate having over 5,500 schools on board, and we are making it mandatory for the non-public schools in excluding New York City to report online. And then we project in 2011, in collaboration with the New York City Department of Health, to make it mandatory for all the private schools in New York City to submit online. The results are we find that we have an efficient data collection system with clean data without having to go through the review process with paper. We have it instantaneously. And as soon as the data is in there, we can pull reports from it. It requires minimal training to use. Thus far, we've saved about $21,000, and that represents a cost saving for printing and postage. And it's been a valuable tool for other agencies needing to contact schools and collect data. In the future, we anticipate eventually having over 9,000 schools that will report via the OSAS within the next few years, and that more state agencies will utilize our system. The 9,000 schools will include the Head Start programs, nursery schools, and the larger daycare centers. We do have about 6,500 group family daycares in New York State, which are considered schools and required to report immunization data, but they generally have from 2 to 5 children, and we will probably not be targeting them for online survey. So we will always have some component of paper. And if any of you are interested in contacting us regarding the survey, or if you wanted to see a demonstration of it, just contact myself or David Gonzalez. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin and Joni, for those wonderful presentations. So now we're going to open up the floor for questions. If anyone has a question, if you could please come to the microphone that's in the middle of the aisle.
Hello, I'm Deborah Block from New York, and I don't have a question for Robin, but I have a question for Joni. In terms of the medical exemptions in your state, do you do any kind of review as to the validity of them, and if so, how is that done?
No.
No.
So the medical exemptions are signed, similar to the exemption that's signed by a parent, and it's simply put in the file at the schools. It just indicates it should be signed by the medical professional, including a physician or a nurse.
Well, I guess with a personal belief exception, there's sort of no point in reviewing them or not, I don't know. But
yeah, it's a pretty liberal policy that we have in Colorado. It's actually set in statute, so we can't use administrative process to make that stricter or to change that. We have to open up the statute to reduce or alter the personal, philosophical, religious, and medical exemptions. So it's a challenge in the public health arena, but the school nurses and the school health paraprofessionals are the ones that review those records and determine if what's signed on the card is appropriate. We at the state don't do a rigor review of that at all.
So the schools can question, or they're not
they
allowed
can,
to?
They can, and again, it depends on the aggressiveness of the school secretary, mm-hmm. the school para-health professional, or the school nurse.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth. I'm from Kansas, and I have a question for Joni. In terms of getting the children's records into Infinite Schools or any other online system, what is the process? Is it on a state form that has to be signed by a doctor, and so they enter in the dates, or is it really up to the parent to keep track of all of that information?
Yeah, so it's set in statute that each student has to present, or their parent has to present, a record to the school. The record has to be recorded on a state-specific form or a certificate of immunization, and that form has to be signed by either the health or the school authority. So it could be that the parent has the card, has the records from the doctor's office, or they have some other form. They bring it to the school, and the school determines that that record source is credible, and they transfer that information onto the official form. They can also enter it into a database or the registry itself at the provider's office and simply print out the form, which of course is our preference, but not all records are in the registry and not all providers print that form, and if they do, not all parents bring it to the school.
Hello, Donna Lazorek from Massachusetts, and I have two questions for Robin. One is, was there a problem at all in with schools not having internet access, or at least the school nurse not having internet access?
We did find that in some of the smaller private schools. All of the public schools had internet access. Some of the smaller privates, maybe no, but the survey, they can go anywhere. They can do it from home, from a public library. So far, we haven't had a problem, but as we recruit more of the private schools, I expect that might come up more.
And so, if I understand it correctly, so the schools can access the registry to find out the children's immunization status, and they do some kind of download and then take that information and then enter it into the assessment.
They can go look up the records to get their aggregate data, because we only request aggregate data. They compile their data for us, but they can go into the registry on the HCS, look up their records, get their data compiled, and then they're on the HCS where they can do the survey.
Great, thank you.
Hi, I'm Linnell with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, and I have a question for Robin. We just last year started with our electronic online survey process and had probably about 100 who reported online out of 1,428 public, private, and parochial schools. How are you collecting your non-compliant student data?
We follow up with phone calls, and we get them to all.
Do they report that to you on that same system?
Yes. Yes, we have the, we actually, we just follow up with them and have them submit online.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Alston from Alaska. We have a system that handles compliance for our schools and our child care statewide. So, Robin, I'm wondering for OSAS, is it only about up-to-date status or does it include compliance also so that you get both pieces of what, like, CDC requests of us every year?
We use our data for compliance. Okay. And what we are finding is that since we're in contact with the schools a lot now, using phone contact and doing the webinars and actually interfacing with them more, they're trying to be more compliant with their excluding kids and making sure that their records get up to date. You know, we contact schools that are less than 90%, so it is helping in that way too, which is great.
For us, contact with our schools, we're a very small state with a very small population, so we have our fingers in everybody. What we're always looking for is that nice combination of up-to-date status and compliance also, because our rules are a little bit different. And so that's kind of where we're trying to find something that will meld the two together. Like I said, I can take our existing program and possibly then try to pull up-to-date status, but what we find is when we start talking about up-to-date status, we suddenly have school and child care staff who are excluding children or trying to exclude children for not being up to date while they may be compliant because they're in a waiting period or some such thing. So is this a program that you could see possibly getting school compliance put into as well, or?
I don't know if we've had that issue where they're trying to exclude kids necessarily that aren't up to date. They might have questions about what's actually meets the requirement, but not that particular issue. But I definitely think that you can meld the two together, and that's what we're finding as an additional benefit of the system.
If there are no more questions, I have a couple of housekeeping announcements. The second immunization Q&A session will take place in Regency Ballroom 6, which is right next door. During the lunch break, beginning in just a few minutes, please feel free to bring your own lunch because lunch will not be provided. The next session will begin at 2 o'clock p.m. Please refer to page 30 and 31 of your agenda books to identify and locate the session you want to attend. Please remember to take a few moments during your lunch break to visit the exhibits and posters. You may also maximize this time by visiting the continuing education room located in the Learning Center. Please notice that a conference evaluation form is included at the back of your agenda book. The conference planning team would appreciate knowing what you like and dislike about this year's conference. Be sure to complete your evaluation form and deposit it in the boxes available at the back of the main ballroom or drop it off at the information and hospitality or registration desk. If you prefer to submit your conference evaluation online instead of on paper, you may do so. The conference planning team will email a link to the online evaluation to all registered conference attendees next week. Please enjoy the rest of your conference. Thank you for coming to our session.